Greetings, friends. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and Jesus the Christ. The manifestation of God's love didn't stop when Jesus' life stopped as he died on the cross. One of the events that occurred immediately thereafter also demonstrated God's love for you and me. It was when the veil of the temple was torn in two. But how does this demonstrate the love of God? Well, let's turn to Mark chapter 15, and we'll read verses 38 through 39. This is where we have this story about the veil of the temple being ripped in two. Again, this is Mark chapter 15 and verses 38 through 39. And behold, the veil of the temple was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And the first thing I want to mention is that this signifies that this was a divine occurrence. It was a divine occurrence because the veil was ripped from the top to the bottom. And it's not humanly possible to reach to the top of the veil because that was much higher than a human being's height. So therefore, by virtue of the fact that it was ripped from the top to the bottom rather than from the bottom to the top, which a human being could just bend down and rip it from the bottom to the top. It wasn't that way. It was ripped from the top to the bottom. By virtue of that fact, it signifies that this was a divine occurrence. And as a result of this veil of the temple being ripped from the top to the bottom, a centurion that was standing near Jesus and who apparently had heard about this, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." So the first lesson that we learn from this veil of the temple being ripped in two from the top to the bottom is it caused someone to conclude that Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach, was the Son of God. So this person saw that Jesus was the Son of God. So the veil of the temple being ripped allowed him to see beyond the veil, to see what was on the other side, which was, of course, God. So he saw God and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." His mind was opened up, so to speak. So now let's go on to Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 1 through 15. This is Hebrews 9 and verses 1 through 15. Because I want to draw an analogy for you, and the analogy is that just like you, because you are the child of your mother and father, you can be invited into your daddy and mommy's bedroom, whereas nobody else comes into mommy and daddy's bedroom. All of the other guests, when they come into the house, they come into the living room or the dining room or the den. But nobody except for family is invited into mommy and daddy's bedroom. So this is the analogy and the picture that I want you to get when we start to talk about the tabernacle, which had an outer sanctuary, which is like the living room, and which had the inner sanctuary, which is like God's bedroom. Because when the veil of the temple was ripped, it allowed for people to go into the Holy of Holies, so to speak. All right, so this is in Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 1 through 15. It says, "The first covenant had ordinances of divine service." These were physical ordinances such as the washings and the sacrifices of animals. And it was also a worldly or physical sanctuary. And there was a tabernacle that was made. And in the first part of the tabernacle, there was the candlestick and the table and the showbread. And so this first part is called the sanctuary. Then there was a veil. And after the veil, there was a second part of the tabernacle. And the second part of the tabernacle was called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies, there was the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant and the tables of the covenant and the mercy seat. Now, who sat on the mercy seat? Well, of course, that's our Father. God the Father sat on the mercy seat. So this Holy of Holies was like God's bedroom. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle. So multiple people went into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second part of the tabernacle, which was the Holy of Holies, it was only the high priest. So only the child of God, so to speak, that one that had the special place, the high priest, they went alone once every year with the blood of an animal, which he then took and offered for himself and for the errors of the people. So the guests or the other priests could only go into the first part of the tabernacle, and after the veil, which revealed the Holy of Holies, went the high priest, the special person, which is like you and me if we are the children of God. We're invited into God's bedroom, so to speak, into the Holy of Holies, where we can sit down on the bed with mommy and daddy and read a book or watch TV or something like that. It shows this intimacy. So the veil being ripped showed that now we have entrance into God's bedroom. We can have this intimacy with God where we can sit on the bed with our mommy and daddy, and we can read the Bible, and we can pray to them and talk with them, and, you know, see a movie or whatever, watch TV. That's the analogy there. And it goes on to say, to show you that this is not my word, goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. See, people were really cut off from this true intimate relationship with God while the first tabernacle was standing, and that's why it was destroyed, and so was Solomon's temple, actually. But by contrast, Christ is a high priest of the heavenly tabernacle, and through his own blood, he entered in once for all time into the holy place. See, he didn't have to go once per year. He just went once, period, for all time into the holy place. And when he went in, he actually obtained eternal redemption for us and the promise of an eternal inheritance, which is eternal life. So we've been forgiven of our sins eternally. That's the eternal redemption. Plus, we've been given the gift of eternal life, and we will actually inherit it when Christ returns to the earth at his second coming. So now, how do we get into God's bedroom, so to speak? There's a doorway that leads us into God's bedroom, and that doorway is Jesus the Christ. He is the door. So Jesus also represents this veil, and we have to come through Jesus to get into the bedroom. This is found in Hebrews the 6th chapter and verses 11 through 20. Again, this is Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 11 through 20. Here it says that we have a desire that every one of you show the same diligence until the end, that you be not slothful, but instead be followers of others who through faith and patience inherit the promises, these promises of eternal life. And this hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now notice this next part. It says that this hope is an anchor of the soul, and it's through this hope that we enter into the other side through the veil. We enter into the Holy of Holies through the veil. And notice what it says. Whither the forerunner is entered into us, even Jesus, who was made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus went through this veil because he is the one who actually is the doorway. He went through as the forerunner, and now we can go through also because he has opened up the door. Wherefore he is able to save them that come to God by him. See, he's the door, seeing he lives forever to make intercession for us. And now let's drop down to Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll read verses 18 through 23. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 18 through 23, because again, we're going to see that the veil is Jesus the Christ. Now, where remission of these sins are, there's no more offering for sin. Jesus Christ offered himself once for all. So therefore, we don't have to make any more offerings. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through his flesh. So there we have it. Jesus Christ is the veil. And it is through this veil, that is to say, through his flesh, we can now know that we have a high priest that's over the house of God. Therefore, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now let's go on to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 3 through 16. because now I want to say that we've entered into God's bedroom, to our mommy and daddy's bedroom. We've entered in through a door. That door is Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the veil, and we enter in through his flesh. So the veil being torn from top to bottom so far has represented two things. One is that we can have access to God. Second, we have this access through Jesus, because Jesus Christ is the veil, and when he died, he actually made entrance to the Holy of Holies, entrance into God's bedroom possible through his own sacrifice. But now that we're in the bedroom, it's almost like, okay, now it's time to turn on the lights so that we can really, really get to know our mother and father, our parents, our heavenly parents. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 3 through 16, we have this veil being pictured as a blockage to understanding, a blockage to really knowing the true God. So it says here, you are the epistle of Christ, speaking of followers of Christ. You are the epistles of Christ, but you're not written with ink. You are written with the Spirit of the living God. Your epistle is not written in tables of stone like the Ten Commandments were written on two tables of stone, but now the law, the Ten Commandments, are written in fleshly tables of the heart and in the mind, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter killing meaning that if you sin, you die. Sin is the transgression of the law. The wages of sin is death. But through repentance and through accepting the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we don't have to die anymore, but now we can live forever, because Jesus already died for us, and he has given us the gift of eternal life. So the Spirit gives life. But if the administration of death, which was written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not behold the face of Moses, because when he went into the tabernacle, his glory of his countenance was so bright that they couldn't look on him, but how much more glorious is the ministration of the Spirit, seeing that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, now this is the part, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look to see God, the true God. It's not like that. But their minds were blinded, for until this day there remains the same veil over the eyes of the nation of Israel. The same veil remains there, and it will remain untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, because it can only be taken away through Jesus Christ. So this veil is done away through Jesus Christ. So when we accept Christ by faith, the truth of God, then we can really have this intimacy with God. That's when the lights come on, when we finally see God for who he is. We understand God because now we have the truth of God, the Word of God, revealed to us by the Spirit of God. And it says, even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when Israel turns to the Lord in faith, the veil shall be taken away. So, by vanquishing the veil, it unveiled God the Father through Jesus the Son. And that's the love of God. When that veil was ripped from top to bottom, it was a statement that now we can have entrance into God's inner sanctum, and we can get to know God for who he is through Jesus the Christ.